This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week. Welcome to Apple at Work, podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. Back on the show this week is our friend Mike McNeil from Fleet. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Bradley.
So, been a busy fall for Fleet, and you all had a some really nice product releases towards the end of September. But want to kick it off with MDM migrations, and that's something that like you care about when you're involved with it and you're needing to migrate. But then otherwise, like customers are probably it's out of sight, out of mind. But it's you should always be. I kind of always have said to people like every one of your vendors, you should always be thinking about how you would get rid of them because again, acquisitions, things like that, you never know. And so what all is new on the Fleet side with MDM migrations?
Well, so we started off with MDM migrations as a kind of reactive step to being like, okay, we have someone that's replacing, a large AirWatch installation and let's figure out, how we can make it an easy fit for them. So that was over a year ago now. And since then, we've kind of developed that into an interactive migration wizard and basically a set of controls that lets you have employees drop a veil on their computer whenever it gets to the point where, okay, you really need to be migrated now, even if you were on a sabbatical, even if it was your honeymoon, you were out for 3 weeks. Now it's time to finish the migration process. So it gives employees a way to kind of dismiss it, get around it, but then eventually they have to finish the migration process and hit that last manual step. Now, what's cool, though, is actually the world is changing a bit for Jamf users, right? They're getting you're having to jump onto Jamf Cloud. And if you're someone who's already on Jamf Cloud, you are looking at a similar kind of migration process, which is easier than it used to be. But still, no matter what MDM it is, like not exactly fun. But one cool thing you can do with Jamf on-prem is you can actually find an easier way that doesn't necessarily require the same level of employee opt-in. So we've seen a lot of people going for that approach.
Well, these migrations are tough. I mean, there can be a multiple reasons why you might need to migrate. We mentioned like, acquisitions, but then it could just be pricing. It could be features. It could be, just not jiving with who your reseller is. Like there's a thousand reasons, but if you screw this up, like it's pretty impactful and it's hard to recover from. And so I think that, making this easier, and I would love to see maybe even something, I don't know, who knows what Apple will build here, but it's almost like you'd eventually love to see something like tied into the Apple Business Manager that some sort of, solution here, but that doesn't help with cross platform. And I think we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but the challenging thing for, the reason you want to make this so easy is because for an employee, like you don't really see any difference. Like, if you're migrating from one vendor to the other, like the employee should just like, it should be outside of like having to click a few boxes. It should be like largely invisible. Your machine shouldn't feel any differently. It should really be on the IT side that maybe things are differently in a new interface. But yeah, I think it's, anytime we can make migrations better and more seamless, I think that's a win for the industry, no matter who you are. Because you really never want to keep a customer because it's hard to migrate. Like that shouldn't be like locking someone in shouldn't be a sales tactic or a product tactic. You should continually win on what you're shipping and what value you're providing customers. I think it's critical. We've hinted at this, but like, what do you, you all been around, this product is, really kind of come through a very nice cycle. Seeing good traction with customers. What are you hearing on cross-platform in terms of, because again, a lot of vendors deal specifically with, macOS, iOS, tvOS, but then obviously there is Android and Windows out there hanging out there. And so what are you hearing in terms of, like, do IT teams want a best of breed where, like, something that focuses just on Windows, or they want something that does them all, or is it a mix of both?
There's a lot of competing concerns right now for IT teams, right? On one hand, you have this continued sprawl of people and the sprawl of devices. You know, when you acquire a new company, you can end up with a new MDM, maybe a different solution for Windows. Like, maybe you switch to Intune across your enterprise, but then you buy someone who's still using SCCM, right? And here you are doing the whole thing again. So we've seen sort of a practical look that companies are taking it, like, look, I mean, even if I'm on the E5 bundle from Microsoft and I have full Intune, they keep promising me that it's going to cover everything, and there keeps being new things that it doesn't cover, right? And I keep getting upsold. So I think a lot of customers are sort of, like, realizing that Intune isn't actually free for their Windows. At the same time, all of these different platforms, when you change them over, you got to work through some friction, and there has to be a good reason to do it. So one of the spots where we've seen the most interest, right, is on Linux, because people have, you know, Fleet has obviously been around and has been like a Linux first platform. Like, we were doing Linux servers long before we were actually managing Macs. And since then, we've really kind of taken an Apple first approach to catch up with all of the native features that folks need to do mass deployments and switch off of, like, tools like Jamf or AirWatch. But when they look at Linux, like, there was no other product out there that even had usable remote lock, right, on Linux. And every organization has these folks, like, with the Linux tattoos. Some of, like, the stubbornest people, like, takes one to know one, right, love Linux. And these stubborn engineers at some of the world's, like, spendiest organizations end up basically with little to no security running on their laptops and no way to offboard them when they leave the company. So there's almost this sort of duality that a lot of organizations have had to live with. And, you know, it's frustrating because if you're in IT, you're having to go to these employees and the security team is asking you to say, hey, come on, why don't you switch over to a Mac? And at the same time, you're trying to give people employee choice and you're trying to retain some of these key employees that are on your never fire them list, right, in terms of the institutional knowledge they have. Not all of them, right? Because everyone can like Linux, but a lot of the people who like Linux tend to be some of the most key engineers. So that's been a foot in the door.
Well, and even if it's my experience and chatting with folks, like, a lot of their engineers, even if they have a Mac or a PC, they may have, like, a bare, you know, pretty, you know, maybe like a small Intel NUC running Linux, or just that secondary machine for development work. And You can't just, like, dismiss those machines. Like, you just, it's a dev machine. It's like, well, it's still got company resources on it. Like, you can't just, like, oh, we're going to manage their Macs, that's their primary workstation, but then they'll have all these other things here. And then just even if it's, like, you know, even if it's a not just, like, a small Intel NUC or, like, a small laptop, you know, if they have a permanent virtual machine that they're accessing and logging into company resources, that's, you know, there's just the things to consider there that you just, like, you start kind of pulling layers of onions. You're like, oh, we have machines technically out there that are unmanaged that we need to deal with. And that's a great example there. Now on that same flavor, you all recently added iOS to your platform. What was, you know, obviously pretty big component of Apple's ecosystem. What was building for that like in 2024?
Honestly, easier than it would have been 5 years ago. Tools like MicroMDM, and we actually use NanoMDM, which is similar, make that a lot easier. So the Fleet product, it basically had support for this built in, but we hadn't gone and done stuff like make it so it was easy to use in the UI and kind of like the next layer on top of that of simple to understand, like, hey, is this BYOD or is this a corporate owned device? And sometimes even just documenting and thinking through the workflows. And luckily, we've had some really good customers that have kind of taken our hand and been like, hey, here's what we need. We're really excited about doing this. And they led us to realize, like, okay, you know, whether it's Linux based remote controls that are in a conference room all the way to the actual iPads in a conference room for people still doing that. The Zoom phones, I believe, are Android, so those are coming soon. But really, the idea is being able to cover like everything in the office, and then moving into like, okay, why do we still need BYOD? Does it actually make sense for where we're at as an organization? And like, if so, which often the answer is still yes, how do we want to kind of, how do we want to do that? And what's the minimally viable set of controls we can put on people's personal phones that ensures that we don't lose valuable company data when their phone gets stolen? Basically making sure they have a passcode on, right? And then also making sure that we're not putting them in a situation where we wipe their kids' pictures.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, again, what I'm hearing too, what I love about your sentiment is I'm hearing like customers are telling this X. Like that's what I'm kind of under, feel like I've, a lot of your roadmap is being driven by, which I think is always a very, very, safe isn't the word, because it's like just very forward thinking. And I think that's the challenge, is often taking like what customers are asking for and maybe even building in a different way, but like
right.
seeing where the pain points of either expansion are or adoption, and saying like, okay, where's our roadmap falling flat there? And like, let's beef up that. And that's just perfect example of like, hey, we started here and we did this, we solved this one problem. So that means that like, you know, we're kind of doing well here, and but customers, in order to expand, that we needed to do more. I think that's fantastic. Now as we record this, like this news has been out for like 2 weeks. What's been the customer reaction for iOS, you know, management within Fleet and just that streamlined interface?
So far, really, really good. It's hard to say whether the trend will continue, but every time we've done a major launch with Computer World, actually, we've had a 5x increase in our pipeline that we get each quarter. And so far, that's looking like that'll continue again, which is awesome. And we've done, you know, we're in the process right now, actually, of migrating a 40,000 host deployment from a couple of different tools. I think there's some Jamf in there, there's some NinjaOne in there, and moving that over to Fleet and moving the iOS devices over kind of cleanly and in a way their employees feel good about the change, and they feel like they understand why they're changing, and they understand like what the employer can see. That's kind of been our priority. And then in terms of kind of new stuff that came out of that, JNUC and actually another conference in Europe this year were some amazing sources of us becoming aware of how many people are sort of looking to do this right now, whether it's, you know, 500 iPhones to 20,000 iPhones. A lot of folks out there have their stuff in Intune, maybe don't have the Macs in Intune, but chose to put iOS in Intune, and are really excited about being able to pull those into the same place that they manage their Macs.
I mean, again, if you don't have a great answer here, I can edit this out. But just curious on your, like, so if I was, again, said company with 40,000 people, do you think migration from one device management vendor to the other is easier on macOS, iOS, or other? Like, so just curious, like, what if someone's considering a big migration, where is the pain points there?
So if you're on Jamf on-prem or any kind of on-prem MBM for Apple, it's actually it's possible to do that migration in most cases without having to get opt-in from employees, which is awesome. If you're not and you're on a cloud-hosted MDM, that transition is going to be something where employees have to click a button. You've got good tools for that, but it is something that's going to, like, you want to have that in your change calendar, right? Whereas like on Windows, it's actually quite easy because a lot of folks will still have some kind of native Microsoft enrollment associated with the device. You know, and like for anyone that's used AirWatch out there, you still have to have a minimal Microsoft license for like Office 365 to be able to use Autopilot. So for folks in that situation, they're actually already kind of ready to move in most cases, and the migration's pretty easy. I would say where most of the work is mapping the stuff that you have in your MDM, like the content, which isn't really designed to be portable in any MDM out there besides Fleet, taking that and then mapping that into a way that works. And so what we've seen for a lot of folks is they go into something like a Jamf, they grab their device groups, they map those to what we call teams in Fleet. And then they go and they kind of like usually use it as an opportunity to rethink how they're doing their scoping and how they're segmenting devices, usually pulling to a much, much lower number of groups. So we had one customer that went from like 1,000 device groups down to 10. And like for context, we've heard it, some of the world's largest financial companies maybe only really need 8 device groups, as long as you have enough kind of flexibility. So that's just one example. Like folks often use it as an opportunity to clean things up, and you can usually, since you're moving everything over anyways, you get a unique opportunity to simplify.
No, I think that's pretty good advice to consider, because I think often when you do these migrations, and it's really just like, even it's any tool, like when you're going from one vendor to the other, you think like, oh, I've got to rebuild my workflows exactly. And oftentimes what you can end up there is like trying to bend the workflows of one vendor to the other. And yeah, like, you're like, actually you should like come at this fresh, ask yourself, what is the problem we're solving? And you just can kind of end up with a better experience, and you can probably end up learning the new tool better by you're just not trying to whole support everything and say, okay, like what is the job to be done here? So that's good advice and some good things to think through. Wrapping up here, what can you give us a heads up of like what's next for Fleet?
Yeah, well, for those in the world of Windows, we're doing a lot of the same work we just did for Mac apps for Windows. So having a more of a built-in library of initially just 20 or so of the most common apps for Windows. And then moving that to basically making that just as easy to do on Windows as it is on Apple. So you can already deploy Windows apps or Windows programs with Fleet. It makes it a point and click, automatically stay up to date checkbox kind of experience. And just like everything else in Fleet, that'll be sort of mirrored with, so there's one kind of consistent way to do it, and people that want to can abstract that into a Git repo so they can add new apps that way if they care to. And then there's Android coming soon, as well as a bunch more just thickening, if you will, of various, especially for bigger companies, use cases they're running up to with Mac OS app management and like volume purchase program deployments of App Store apps for iPhones.
Nice. Well, it sounds like we got a good, nice roadmap ahead. I know your customers are luckily excited about, more platforms to offer. So, Mike, thanks for taking the time to come on the show. Congrats on the launch. And I guess I'll let you get back to your roadmap.
Awesome. Thanks, Bradley.